Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
And I had a debt I could not pay, but it was paid by Jesus when he laid down on that cross. And even as Abraham said, oh, thank you, God, for the ram in the thicket. Thank you for providing a way of sacrifice. We ought to leave here today saying, thank you, God, for providing a sacrifice through your Son, Jesus Christ.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you, and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reaching Forth in Love.
There's a verse in our text this morning that really helps us understand what it means to reach forth in love and to be a loving church in this day. And I want you to see it. It's in chapter 8 and verse 8. And it says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. So biblical love is always expressed. It's always shown, displayed, or proven. It's not something that is merely stated. It's not something that we think, well, you know, they should know that. But it's something that's actively shown. I remember seeing a bumper sticker years ago out in the state of North Carolina. And it said on the back on this bumper sticker, it said, tithe if you love Jesus, any idiot can honk. Now, you say, well, that's kind of cold, but you know, honestly, what the sticker is saying is, you know, lots of people have stickers, lots of people say they believe in God or that they love Jesus, but biblically, if you love someone, if you care about them, you're going to strive to meet their need, because love is meeting the need of someone else that they cannot meet for themselves. So love in the Bible is not just this abstract emotional word. Love in the Bible really is about meeting the needs of others. How about this one? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. So love is always an action that is displayed. And that's why Paul the Apostle says to the Corinthian church, I want you to prove your love. I want you to show that you love the church at Jerusalem. Now, chapter 8 and 9 really is dealing with a special offering that was being given to the needy Christians at Jerusalem. And the Corinthians were being challenged to prove their love for Jesus and for the Christians there by giving to them to help meet their need. They had made a commitment over a year prior. Now they were being reminded to fulfill that commitment that had been made. Now, to get a little understanding of what was going on with the Corinthian church, we see that they're located not far from Athens, and the Apostle Paul is now writing to them, challenging them to help the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem had undergone great persecution. Many of the Christians had actually died martyrs' deaths, and so Paul, as the apostle, was raising an offering for them. And some of the most generous givers were up here in Macedonia. They had given, even though they were in poverty themselves, they had given very generously. And so we read about that in verse number 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we remind you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So he's using the example of the churches of Macedonia to challenge the church at Corinth. Do you know, I have prayed for 34 years that God would use the example of Lancaster Baptist Church. We're not in Beverly Hills. We're not flush with money. But that God would use the example of this church to encourage other churches to believe that God is able to do great and mighty things. That's what Paul's doing. He's using the example of one set of churches to challenge another group or another church at Corinth. And as he speaks to them about love, he gives them three dominant truths that I want to share with you today. First of all, he challenges the Corinthians regarding the participation of love, that love will participate in meeting a need. And here we see that he says in verse number one, I want to remind you of the grace of God. And so what we learn is that love is developed by God's grace. Love is developed by God's grace. The grace of God had been bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, there are at least three churches that we know of in Macedonia. Let me remind you of those. Some of you will remember. There was the church at Berea. The Bereans were more noble because they did what? They searched the scriptures, right? You remember that? A great church. There was the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. They had a work of faith, a labor of love, a patience of hope. They were a great church as well. And then there was the church at Philippi, to whom God said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because they were a giving church, God was going to meet their needs. So when we hear about the Macedonian churches, these were strong churches spiritually. And what you find when you study the Bible is that strong spiritual churches are also generous churches. You cannot separate being a strong Christian from being a generous Christian because God's grace is working through them. And so they were getting involved, though they were in difficult times themselves, in sending and offering all the way down to Jerusalem to help other people. And that only happens when someone is growing as a Christian, when someone is growing in the grace of God, when God is working at their heart. In fact, notice the verse there in your notes, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, someone might be here this morning and say, well, you know, I don't know if I can be a witness for Jesus. I don't know if I could ever forgive that person that offended me. What I want you to notice in this verse is that it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. So the things you think you can't do, God says, I know you can't do it, but I can do it through you. I know it's not normal to want to take of our substance and give to help children or give to help the bus children or give to the missionaries, but my grace is sufficient for you and I can produce within you a desire and an ability. So grace is bestowed abundantly and grace is expressed generously. Look at verse 2. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So look at this strange equation. Here was a church, verse 2, in Macedonia. They had deep poverty, but they gave liberally. That is a miracle from God. And I have often felt that Lancaster Baptist Church is a reflection of the Macedonian spirit. The fact that this is a very middle-class area, and yet God has let us see abundant things done for his honor and glory. The other day, we had our county supervisor visiting our church. We had lunch afterwards, and she said, Pastor, she said, every time I drive to this church, and I see all these people, and I see these buildings, I'm just amazed. And what she's really saying is, you don't expect to see that in Lancaster. And I would remind you this morning, this is not the reflection of Lancaster or the people of Lancaster. It is the reflection of the great God that we serve. A God that has touched the hearts of common, ordinary people to do extraordinary things because of his grace at work in us. And so love is developed by grace. They gave liberally. Now, I like the way that Amy Carmichael explained it, and this is what she said. She said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Now, there's a lot of people that give without loving. That's why I have never let a CPA guide my giving. The CPA is going to tell you what works out best for taxes, but not necessarily what is a loving gift. And I've tried to let God guide in my giving. There's a lot of people that give without loving. There are people that give to politicians. They'll give large sums of money, hoping that they get something back in return. It's not that they even love or even like the politician. It's just a part of doing business, and so they give with that thought in mind. There are other people that will give to various causes because maybe they feel like they have to. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot love Jesus without wanting to give. You cannot love people without trying to meet the need. And so this liberality was all because of God's grace. And we see pictures of it throughout the Bible. We see Jesus teaching 5,000 people on a hillside, and his disciples come and say, "Jesus, let them go away. They're hungry and we can't feed them." And it looked like a difficult situation until one little boy came and said, "Well, I have these two fish and these five loaves, and I'm willing to give what I have." And Jesus took it and he multiplied it and he fed 5,000 people, and there were 12 baskets left over. How many of you can agree that there was grace in that little boy's heart that day? How about the widow as she walked into the temple, and as the very wealthy were giving their offerings to the treasury and they were putting it in and making a show of it, but the widow woman walked in and she gave her mite. She gave her 1/4 of a penny, and as she dropped that in, Jesus was watching. Jesus is always watching our lives and all of us as we are living for him. And Jesus said of the widow in Mark 12:44, "For all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living." She gave herself to God that day in her offering. It was a gift of grace. She loved, and so she gave. And so love is developed by the grace of God. And then may I say this? Secondly, love is demonstrated by the people of God. Love is demonstrated by the people of God. Now notice that in verse 3 it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift." So speaking of the churches at Macedonia, Paul said, wow, did they demonstrate their love to their power, beyond their power. They were begging us that they could have a part in this special offering for Jerusalem. Even though they were in great poverty themselves, even though they had their own problems and their own needs, there was such a work of God going on in their heart that they said, "Paul, we want to have a part in meeting the needs of those at Jerusalem." And that is the heart that Lancaster Baptist has had, whether it was when we ran our first bus or when we supported our first missionary. With all of it, it has been, how can we help? And as we think of the compelling needs of the children in the Antelope Valley, and when we consider that 80% of the people sitting in this room accepted Jesus at age 12 or below, we recognize the great opportunity to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how did it happen? Notice in verse 3 it says, they were willing of themselves. These people had willing hearts, these Macedonians. You know, when I think of willing hearts, I think of children. Children are excited. Our church children at Lancaster Baptist, they're excited because they have willing hearts. When I was looking through some of the files this past week and doing some house cleaning, I was mindful of some of the different things of when I was a kid growing up. And one of the things I saw was my giving record from the 8th grade and attending the Bethany Baptist Church in Whittier, California. And here was the list of the $20 and the $8 and the $46 and the $51. And it looks like that year I gave about $100 or $101. To the Lord through the church that I was attending, and just mowing lawns and doing chores. And I got to tell you, the church treasurer at Bethany Baptist Church wasn't holding his breath hoping that I gave my offering. The church wasn't dependent upon the offerings of an 8th grade boy. But my spiritual growth was dependent on having a willing heart for God.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story.
Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.